Welcome to the Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to provide an insight on pharma, health and wellness, from discussing trends in the industry to key issues in health with all the relevant experts. For the fifth series, the Medicine Box has tied up with OPPI, Organization of Pharma Producers of India. This series will host a range of guests from OPPI representing global pharmaceutical companies. It will share their perspective on a multitude of topics, from healthcare policies to opportunities of the industry and certain areas of development and progress. Our guest on today's podcast is Kanchana TK, Director General and Board Member, OPPI. Kanchana leads the OPPI, a pharma advocacy group that represents research-based pharma companies in India. Prior to OPPI, she has worked with pharma major Bristol Myers Squibb. Before pharma, Kanchana was part of another highly regulated industry, the insurance space. Kanchana joins in to discuss why innovation in healthcare policy making should be the norm and not an exception. Kanchana, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Ekta. Very excited to be here. I think it's a great topic, given that we also have a Nobel Prize now talking about innovative policy making.
Yes, so absolutely. Well, let's get going in terms of first discussing the entire concept of innovative policy making. Give us a sense in terms of the key thoughts and the guidelines that OPPI is probably working with in this field.
So I think let me just step back a bit. I think policy making for a long time, and the way we understand it, has been really at the bureaucratic level, which it should be, and it should be driven by the government. But I believe more and more, given the complex challenges that healthcare has, it's important to have industry on the table when we actually create policies for healthcare or better healthcare access. So I think that's where we will start from as a conversation. The second piece, I think, in terms of innovation in policy making, is I think we've seen the disease burden from, let's say, the early 90s to the 2000 has moved. We're no longer talking about infectious diseases. We're talking about serious lifestyle diseases, which is the NCDs, and that's a real big burden, as we know that. What can the government and the industry do together to bring about better access and better schemes and better policies that can actually support patients to have access to world-class treatments at state and at the central level for NCDs? So that's one point that I'm establishing.
NCDs are non-communicable
diseases. It could be, it is the largest killer is diabetes, you have cardiovascular, you have cancers, you have respiratory illnesses. One of the key things I think is that innovation has not happened in policy making for, I think, from 1997, we're talking about, let's say, a simple ask of increasing the spend on healthcare in our budget, right? We've been told it'll be gradually 2.5, but we're still at a 1% of our GDP, which is a public healthcare spending, and I think that is not enough. So if that is not enough, what else can we do innovatively to ensure that we put the money into the system for healthcare? And I think that's where the innovation and policy making will come.
Okay. So where does India stand when it comes to policy making and the kind of innovation we've brought into it? How far behind are we as compared to, say, some other countries?
No, that's a great question. I think there are two pieces to it. One is, I think, in terms of models, for healthcare financing models, I think we have started to play with them a little bit initially, and I'll come to that in a minute. But I think if you look at countries like UK and France, both of them, especially in the United Kingdom, you have a innovation hub or a lab, innovation lab in the cabinet office. That really looks at innovation and policy making. What can they do differently to make the, you know, the state of the country better? And it could be in any area, and we're talking healthcare today. France, again, has a huge focus on how do you work on innovative policy making in many areas, and one of them being healthcare. I think in India, we've not seen any such focus on healthcare. And innovation in our policy making hasn't happened, like I said, whether it's our Drugs and Magic Remedies Act, whether it's our Drugs and Cosmetics Act, whether it is our healthcare policies, whether it's our pricing policies around medicines, whether it is our policies around access, whether it's our focus on building up infrastructure for primary healthcare. I think it's really we have a huge opportunity to do a lot of work there.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think social impact bonds, right? Those are the bonds that have philanthropists,
mm-hmm.
Family offices, funds, people who want to contribute. There are people who actually work only on the social impact side, the bonds that work on the social impact side. Those are areas which we can utilize. And Rajasthan has actually, in the maternal mortality area, maternal health area, has put together a small pilot
mm-hmm.
using social impact bonds. And I think those are possible, but they're still possible only on small areas, because for a country like ours, and if you want to do a larger scheme impact, then of course you need other financing models. But for a small state, a small district, a small healthcare issue, we can use social impact bonds.
But can you explain the model of a social impact bond and
yeah.
why can't it
yeah.
be replicated to larger geographies?
Sure, yeah. So I think, first we must understand the three goals that the social impact bond has. One is a disease prevention which saves in direct and indirect costs.
Hmm.
The second piece is reducing the indirect costs for the government, which means the social economic
hmm.
costs that
hmm.
go with this particular disease. The third is finding a cure for the disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are three large goals of a social impact bond. Let's look at the Rajasthan model for a minute. The Rajasthan Maternal Newborn Health Development Impact Bond focused only on improving, standardizing the quality of care on the private healthcare facilities in the state,
hmm.
but for maternal newborn health, right? Now, I also want to talk a little bit about the outcomes. These are all linked to outcomes. So why Rajasthan? And I'm just going to give you an example. The 2013 response survey showed that 32 children out of 1,000 children born in Rajasthan die.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm.
The national average is 28.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at this particular, there was one particular key thing they actually drilled down to. It was really a small area, right? Now, if you look at it, this also, what they did was the number of maternal deaths during the childbirth for 225 children was for every 1,000 mothers was versus 178 for the rest of India. So
mm-hmm.
they really had a problem,
yeah.
right? Now, if you look at just the underlying philosophy of taking a particular thing is you need large social impact bonds to take up larger issues. India didn't have those many.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if in Israel, I'm going to take it to another Israel,
sure.
which is a bigger issue. They did tackling type 2 disease
mm-hmm.
for diabetes. Here, the SIB, that is social impact bond, focused on three things: a defined target population,
mm-hmm.
reducing financial risk associated with treatment, and then they also looked at innovative solutions and expertise. 15 investors, including funds, impact funds,
they came together.
Family offices, a commercial bank, brought up 5.3 million. Now, 5.3
okay.
million, if you see, is a small figure still.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, you can only target a small. Again, it depends on how many social impact bonds are going to come up in the future.
Mm-hmm.
How much can we raise from family offices? How much can we raise from philanthropy? But I would believe that this, again, has limitations
yeah,
when
it
you
does.
Do.
Mm.
So I think social impact bonds, we should definitely try them in India, in more states, in more diseases, where we can go a bit narrow, a little more myopic, let's say for a district, for a particular outcome that we want. But for a large scale access issue in India, you would need government funding.
Okay.
You would need citizen participation.
That's exactly what I was coming to, because UK, France, those are, you know, economies which have
yeah.
a very strong
yeah.
public healthcare
Absolutely.
Infrastructure. You have the NHS in the UK, you have free healthcare in France as well.
True.
That doesn't exist in India. Majority of the burden is taken by the private healthcare space, and for those who can't afford it, you have Ayushman Bharat.
Correct.
What is your sense in terms of how we can target the middle section in terms of innovation and policy making? Those who fall in between Ayushman Bharat and the affable who can probably even afford private healthcare?
Yeah, I think, and this is a very interesting question. So the Ayushman Bharat addresses the below poverty line, or really the poor who cannot afford healthcare, even
mm.
at maybe a, you know, a very simple nursing home,
mm.
a private nursing home. So that's hopefully Ayushman Bharat takes care of it. It's a debate whether Ayushman Bharat takes care of the disease management piece. It definitely takes care of the hospitalization.
I'll come to Ayushman Bharat
yeah.
in just a bit.
But
yeah.
I think if you look at the middle class, India has a growing middle class, and there is definitely a consumption is on the rise.
Mm.
It could be I'm not just talking about healthcare consumption, generally consumption, and the middle class is on the rise. Now, if you look at the middle class today, the insurance schemes that they have, they do not have cancers, they do not have cardiovascular or NCDs, disease management is not covered. Hospitalization is, pre and post hospitalization is, but if you want to do a domiciliary or an OPD, it is not covered. So what happens to them, right? They have to pay out of pocket. The second piece is the state insurances do not again provide for disease management schemes which are lifelong or chronic. Can we come out with a solution, which OPPI has done with PWC? We actually solutioned one, we picked up one state, we picked up the incidence of cancer, of a particular cancer, and we solutioned back to say that if the citizen was to participate, if the government were to participate, and the industry was to participate, what would the costs be for each one of them? And what would it mean in terms of reducing the disease burden on the state?
So I think what was the solution or what was the target, if you could just expand a little more?
Sure. So I think we looked at lung cancer because we find that many people in India are wrongly diagnosed as TB when it's actually lung cancer. And by the time they realize it's lung cancer, they're at it's the final late. Stage and the mortality is high. So we looked at that more because there's a confusion between TB and lung cancer. So if you look at, we looked at Andhra as an example, and it was just, it could be any state. We just had, we needed data from some states, so we took Andhra as a state. But we believe that at the state level, if you go to the state, the government obviously has to put money into the scheme. The citizen will be asked to pay for it voluntarily, because then it's available on the state platform. The industry will work with the government to give them the range of medicines. Now, this is not about innovative medicines only, because the first line therapy typically is the generic medicine. So here we're talking about access to every kind of medicine that exists, whether it is generic till the last treatment, the best in class could be an innovative medicine or a patented medicine. So I think we worked on this for lung cancer. We used Andhra as a model just for because we needed some data. But we are looking at solutioning this with, you know, and pressure testing this idea with a couple of states, because we believe at a state level, these solutions will work, and these are innovative solutions.
Okay.
Because if we work on one cancer, we could replicate that for multiple cancers.
For multiple cancers. Ayushman Bharat, that's probably one of the most innovative things that the government has come out with. Does that fit a criteria in terms of innovation and policy making, in terms of the genericization of drugs via the generic stores that they've come up with? Is that enough when it comes to innovation and policy making?
So I wouldn't call that innovation, but I think it's a very critical step the government took by, they put the stake on the ground to say healthcare is important. Healthcare was never a focus for the Indian population. It was infrastructure, development, jobs, better
economy.
So
within Ayushman Bharat, can there be more innovation?
Absolutely. I think Ayushman Bharat it is a great platform, and I think we should look at it to see how can we bring in innovation. And I would say innovation in two things. One is strengthen your primary care centers, which is absolutely critical. And I think the second piece is disease management outside of hospitalization, because you have to go back to work. And then the fact that many people today struggle with a diabetes or a cardiac or a cancer, which is pay out of as you go, or you have to obviously go to government hospitals which are overburdened anyway. I think we have an option to work with Ayushman Bharat to create version 3.0, which could possibly look at covering all of this.
Okay. You spoke about the impact bonds, the social impact bonds, and that has a lot of private money which comes in to support healthcare. Is there more such innovation that we can look at where there would be probably a little more private financing in terms of participation in order to probably improve the rates of disease?
So I think the only solution is insurance. I honestly believe insurance companies and the pharma industry, like the rest of the world, we should be working with them to create products. And I think in terms of, if you look at, I'm not saying the US model is the best model because it has its own challenges, but I think if you can leave the private market to work with insurance companies to come out with products where the individual who today pays out of pocket starts investing in healthcare is one solution. The other solution I think could be health savings bonds, where you have finance models. where people save for health and they can only withdraw, like your PF can be withdrawn only for certain things, you can only withdraw for a healthcare emergency. So there are options. I also think it's important that, here's a very important point that you asked, is that all of this is possible if there is not over-regulation on price. You have to, regulation is important. We have the NLEM, we have the DPCO. Clearly we have, we have the first line made available to patients at a very, very low cost. I think probably where India sells at the lowest drug cost anywhere in the world. So I think in terms of looking at the middle class purchase for healthcare, then there should be other models. But again, for the industry and insurance to come together to do this, I think overpriced regulation will be a deterrent.
When you talk about regulations or say price control, do you think that's one of the reasons which probably stems R&D or stems companies in terms of investing in R&D as aggressively as say counterparts globally?
No, I think they're two different things. So price control, the problem is, like we say, there is, to a hammer, everything is a nail, right? So if you use price control, it's a blunt weapon. It's not going to lead to any sharp results. You will have a slowing of the market at some point, and there's enough data to prove that overpriced regulations have not led to.
So there should be some amount of price regulation.
Which is already there.
But there shouldn't be more price regulation than what there is.
Yeah, we have a DPCO. It's a well-defined DPCO. We have an NLEM, which is a well-defined process. So I think that is one. And then to go back to your first question on affordability and access, this is where it comes in. The affordability is the, in a way, the duty of the government. And the access piece is the duty of each one of us, all our partners. We have to ensure it's better access. And the difference is that affordability, if you're a citizen of the country, so somewhere the healthcare, right to healthcare, if I can use that word, basic healthcare, is also the government's, that's where the innovative policy making comes in. But the industry is a critical stakeholder. And we should come in to say that we will assist and we will support and we will partner on better access. A better access means better infrastructure at the villages, better primary healthcare centers, better tertiary hospitals.
Why isn't this happening already? Or is it happening?
Very good question. I'm going to come back to the same answer that I have. That innovative policy making is not happening. When you do innovative policy making, you have to invite partners to the table. It cannot happen in silos.
So are you saying that the government needs to reach out to the private sector in order to invite them to get their opinion when it comes to innovative policy making?
Absolutely. I think there should be an innovation hub. I think it should be a joint collaborative effort of the industry and the government. And the industry is ready to partner. And we come up with solutions as to how to improve access in this country.
Okay. Access and affordability, those are the two key points for India. If you have to lay out, say, one innovation in policy making to help both accessibility of drugs as well as affordability of drugs, what would it be?
So I think I will go back to the state for definitely access. I think the states are a great place for us to work because they also, the budgets of course lie in the state, as you know. I think we should go back to the states to see how we can improve their existing schemes. They have fantastic schemes, many of the states. Some are putting them together. I think we have an opportunity there. The second piece I would say in terms of looking at our Drugs and Magic Remedies Act, looking at our Drugs and Cosmetics Act, looking at OTC as one of the policies that can improve access. Today, you don't want someone to go to a doctor for cold cough or a laxative. I mean, that's really not what you want. Even Ayushman Bharat, by the way, there's enough data to show that people are going to a private nursing home or whatever is empaneled for a fever or a cold or a cough. Because honestly, can this country take that kind of burden for diseases that can be treated with a clear OTC policy? And then let the serious diseases be dealt with at these hospitals. Because it's also, if somebody goes in for a hospitalization, whether it's a fever or a heart, you have a claim, you know, at the end of the day. it is going to drain the resources of the government.
What is the private sector doing individually as of now?
So I think
say the OPPI members.
Sure, some of our members, and I'm not. It's not. I would not say it's. It's not in the market yet, but there is a lot of effort that we are trying as OPPI members individually to talk to insurance companies to see, to talk to financing companies, how can you finance health loans. Today, Bajaj Finance launched a healthcare vertical because they realized people are taking loans for healthcare rather than for consumer goods. Somebody's financing them today, which is good, which is great.
But again, it goes back to the idea of out-of-pocket expenditure being extremely high.
Correct. And so the point is that in terms of, if you look at, even if I have to fund, let's say, chemotherapy or, you know, breast cancer surgery, I need money today. So are they, you know, we are working with some financing companies to see if there's some way we can go at a really low interest rate for these people. Is there insurance that can cover them if they pay premiums? So I think we are working on those schemes. It's not easy. We have to aggregate. We have to make sure that we come up with some models. But I think soon you will see some models coming out which are innovative.
And what is your pitch to the government?
Is it on the innovation or
on
is it
you can make it broad based on innovation as well as others?
Yeah, I think I would definitely say the government should regulate quality. I think the quality of medicines is regulation of quality in medicines is something we would definitely want the government to do.
Is there any innovation that they can come up with when it comes to quality also, maybe just probably just a strengthened regulator?
No, I think it's just about focus on getting the integrity of the supply chain fixed, starting from manufacturing to the last mile till it reaches the patient. I think quality is definitely something we want the government to regulate.
Okay.
We're very open to having conversations with the government on access. I think there's a great opportunity. Finally, like I said, price controls, price regulation, India really is, we have a fairly decent and a clear methodology for price control. We should not have excessive price controls. And innovative policy making is something we would definitely like the government to do, to look at policies completely with a fresh set of eyes. You know, we are stepping into our last quarter of a century of independence. So I think we should definitely relook at every act, every law, every guideline we've made around healthcare. Because ultimately, if we don't have a healthy nation, I think most of our dreams are not going to be met.
Okay, I think the government will probably hear these demands, but Kanchana, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you
very much for joining in and giving us all of these insights with regards to innovation and policy making when it comes to healthcare and how critical that is in order to improve affordability and accessibility. Kanchana, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for
joining
in.
Thank you very much.